love you, everything burrito. You all know exactly who I am.
Shut up!
I'm the cook. I'm the man.
Will you shut up when I'm talking?
Say my name.
Say my name, say my name.
Then that is our name.
Hey, that's my maiden name.
Say my name.
Say my name.
That's my name, don't wear it out.
Fear of a name only increases fear of the thing itself.
Say my name.
Radio Citrus.
Now, broadcasting from a transmitter the size of a toaster. From the top of the San Gabriel Mountains to the Rockies to the Appalachians.
323-920-9590.
This is Q95.9 FM.
Because we're awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it is good to be back for what? First time in about 2 years here. Radio Citrus at Q95.9 FM. And I wish I could promise that this is going to go on and on forever, but, you know, I got a job or whatever. But let's have a little fun. Hit me up on the phone lines. 323-920-9590. Jobs have a way of kind of sucking the creativity and the fun out of your passions. You know, I remember talking to somebody who was big into piano performance, you know, liked pianos a lot. And he was an older guy. He'd actually been a school teacher his entire career, and but he was so good at playing the piano. I said, Floyd, why did you end up being a school teacher instead of concert pianist or even like a piano tuner or something? And he turned, he said, you know, to be honest with you, I figured out along the way that the more and more I tried to do music and tried to make that my thing, it just, I always felt disappointed because I never got to do the thing I really wanted to do because I had to do the thing I was getting paid to do. And it just never was the same. So he said he took his passion, set that aside, made it a hobby, went and just got a regular old job. He was a school teacher. He was all right at it. He liked it. Didn't love it. It was good. But then he could do music on the side and do whatever it was he wanted to do. And I'm kind of getting that because as I've done some broadcast work, I never get to do what I wanted to do. I just get to do what I'm paid to do, and that's not always the same thing. So anyway, it'll be fun over the next, hopefully planning to do at least a couple episodes here, to check in and see where you're at in your life. Because we all went and kind of gathered around, many of us met through YTMND. It's pretty much dead and gone now. But the reason being is I think we were all probably in our early 20s when we first found the site nearly a decade ago. And now we're probably getting close to 30 or in our early 30s, and life just changes. You don't think, especially if you're still single like me, you think, oh, well, you know, I'm not really that different than what I was 10 years ago. But am I? Anyway, we'll talk about that coming up more either later this episode or in an upcoming episode. But first, the phone calls are coming in. Here's call number one here on the Radio Citrus line.
Hi, this is David with SearchEngineStartup.com.
How are you doing, David, with SearchEngineStartup.com?
And we just received the information for your new website.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm enjoying it. You know, I've been looking for a way to showcase the content I made over the years. Most of it's crap. But you know, I built it. I might as well put it up there. And what's great now with WordPress, it's not like building a website 10 years ago where I had to code everything by hand, you know. This way I can actually get in and build what I want to build. And it's really cheap, too. So thank you. I'm glad you checked it out. I'm glad you like it, David.
And it looks like your website is now ready to be listed in the local and national search results.
Well, I don't need that, David, because I know that you can go to the Open Directory Project, which, by the way, if you have a website and you want to get Google to pick you up sooner, go to DMOZ.org. In fact, I'll type that in here right now. DMOZ.org. It's called the Open Directory Project. And it looks really ghetto and old school. It has something to do with AOL. But right there, there's Suggest URL. Click on that. Enter the URL for your website. You can put it in a category. Google just like gobbles that up. And boom, you start showing up in search results, and it costs you basically nothing.
So you'll need to grab a pen, as the following message includes important information for listing your website.
Well, I don't need it, but sure, let me, hold on. Let me grab a pen here. Because it never hurts to get advice from someone, and David, you sound like a nice fellow. Okay, got my pen and paper here. What's up?
You have been issued a temporary promo code in order to have your website properly listed in the local and national search results.
but it's free at dmoz.org. But all right.
Your promo code is valid through Wednesday and waives the setup fees.
Wednesday? I don't know. I have a feeling you're going to ask me for money, and I don't get paid till Thursday or Friday, you know. Can you hold off a few days?
To use your promo code and ensure your website's proper listing, you'll need to go to www.searchenginestartup.com.
Can you say that again?
Select from the local or national
list. Can you say that again? I didn't get the URL.
4173.
Wait.
To complete your registration.
Well, hold on. What was that number again?
www.searchenginestartup.com.
Startupsearchengine.net.
Select the local or national listing. Then enter your promo code 4173.
7143.
To complete your registration.
Okay.
This process takes less than 5 minutes to complete and will ensure an increase in the visibility of your website.
You know, the best way to get more visibility for my website is to just make a podcast and let the guys at YTMND know. They'll come over and check it out, maybe share it with a few of their friends. Doesn't cost anything, a little bit of my time.
Congratulations on your new website.
Well, thank you, David. That's very nice of you to say that.
We look forward to receiving your registration and to serving you.
But I don't want to serve. I don't want you serving me. Hello?
SearchEngineStartup.com is not affiliated directly or indirectly with any other website, hosting, or marketing companies.
Okay. The question for you, David, though, what websites do you like to work on? I'm kind of bashful. Well, what's your favorite places to go out to eat, David? Did you go to college? Where'd you go to college, David? Hey, kind of shy. Well, that's okay, David. You're here with friends. These guys are on YTMND. It's not like 4chan or something where people are mean. These guys are pretty chill. They usually give fives. They make mean comments. It's just to help you out. I'm sure they'd help out your business, you know. Tell me again about your business. Why should I list with you? David, if you just give me one good reason, I'll use your startup search engine dot org or whatever the heck it was. Just give me one good reason. Why should I join? And just don't be shy.
What the junk?
I hate you.
Stop interrupting.
Radio Citrus.
Harry Potter, Joe McGoon, Ridge Racer, Sailor Moon, Stephen Colbert, Captain Picard, I'll tag in the shoe. Technological curb stop, New Orleans, Fallen Twat, Bell Peppers, Brian Peppers, MySpace is emo. Captain Kirk, or Snap, Bill Cosby, it's a trap. Connery, O'Reilly, Captain Murray, Dempsey, Cuppy Cake, Gumdrop, Spin is never gonna stop. But bring your legs, look to Scientology. We didn't start this website. It was always twisted since the site's existed. We didn't start this website. No, we didn't code it, but we got avoided.
What's your favorite summer memory?
Oh, it was that Friday night back in June when we went to McDonald's and the employees hadn't washed their hands, and so we both got really sick and threw up everywhere.
What about when we sat under the stars holding hands and you said you loved me?
That night kind of stunk.
For a summer flavor on the go, try the Caesar Chicken Snack Wrap. Crispy or grilled for $1.89. And the new Coffee Crisp McFlurry for a limited time at participating McDonald's in Atlantic Canada.
Can you guys keep a secret?
Radio Citrus on Q959 FM.
Okay, here's the secret.
We're back for 2014.
Dude, you see my masterpiece coming together, right?
Maybe it might never happen again.
It's great to be back behind the old podcast seat here on Radio Citrus at Q959 FM, but actually, if I think about it, it doesn't make sense. Sitting in the old podcast seat behind the podcast steering wheel. Taking your calls at 323-920-9590. I picked 959 because Q959. Anyway, let's go to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Howdy. You do that again for me, man.
Where's my pirate balls at?
What?
Is my pirate balls coming in from the pawn shop?
You know, that reminds me, getting calls like this actually gives material to work with. As useless as that call was, it does give us something to talk about here. And see, part of the problem with a podcast is that most podcasts, you end up just talking to yourself. And what's the point in that? I mean, you don't want to hear me yammer on and on and on about just crap. I've got an opinion. But you know what? Everybody has an opinion. It's kind of pointless. But if you call in at 323-920-457-847, 900-227-8272-65. Try this again. 323-920-9590. I will use pretty much every call you call in with. You know, if you call in, you're like, FFFFFFFSSSSSHHHHCCCC. There's not a lot I can do with that. It's just going to be a phone call of beeps. Because, you know, I'm trying to keep family friendly. Hey, we're all in our, like, approaching 30 now. Some of the YTMNDers of yesteryear probably driving around listening to this podcast with their kid in the car, you know? It's not like I'm trying to be all, like, super prudish or anything. It's just, you know, if I had my kid in the car, I wouldn't want him to hear FFFFCCCCHHHHKKK. I don't know. But the pretty much any call you call in with, we'll work with it. So the answer is parrot balls. I'm assuming that's something from PetSmart, so we'll check that out. I don't know why you'd get in the pawn shop, though. But so we'll go to PetSmart.com, and we'll type in parrot balls, P-A-R-R-O-T-T-B-A-L-L-S. Nope, there are no parrot balls at PetSmart.com. How about we just put in parrot? And let's see. There is a diaphragm replacement part for a terraforming kit. That doesn't sound like that has anything to do with it's all fish tank parts. So, well, maybe that's why you had to go to the pawn shop. I don't know. It's Radio Citrus on Q95.9 FM.
You know, I thought it was a good idea when you pitched it to me 5 minutes ago. But now I'm not so sure, man.
Introducing the great new taste of Coca-Cola, the best tasting Coke in the history of ever.
It's a hit, it's a Coke, Coke is it.
It's Coca-Cola with a new taste, a new sensation, a new explosion of wonderfulness in your mouth. Go ahead, try it.
It's just how you feel when you know it's for real.
We've got the taste.
It's a kick, it's a hit.
My lover's got humor. She's a giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should've worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak. A fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well.
Podcast that uses every phone call.
Is this like
no matter how stupid.
I will leave you with
support.
Radio Citrus on Q95.9 FM. To join the show, call 323-920-9590.
You know, there are a few buddies who call in regularly who are, they're just always fun to have join in. Reverend O'Grady, for one. He was part of the original podcast. Moon Man, he's always welcome to join us. I know he's kind of, he's more of a polarizing figure, but I've realized that we're too quick in this country or in Western society or as humans, period, because you see this in Eastern society too with ISIS and others. We're too quick to see somebody who has a viewpoint that we disagree with and want to silence them or kill them or whatever. And Moonman's just a guy who, yeah, we don't agree with his viewpoint. You know, most of us believe in the dignity of all human beings, regardless of their race. But Moonman does have an opinion, and he's definitely always welcome back here on the show. You know, it's within reason, as long as he's not spewing just absolute vitriol. But I'm not trying to silence anybody. I'd love to get just about anyone's opinion on just about anything. So we got all kinds of problems coming up here in this world. I mean, we are, if you're like me and you're in your early 30s, late 20s, or even if you're in your young 20s, we are generation screwed. You know, if you think about it, every generation gets that one moment where life is good. You know, for our grandparents, it was as they got old. They had a sweet retirement and not even a bad time as a career because the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of good jobs, you know. Our parents had life pretty good, especially when they hit the stride of their careers. You know, the 90s was a boom time. And for us, our sweet time in life was our childhood. It was the 90s. Unfortunately, we thought that was normal, and now we're all disappointed because the world's back to its old crappy self, and it looks like it's going to get a lot worse because you've got problems in the Middle East that aren't going away that may, you know, you all of a sudden get Russia or somebody teaming up with ISIS, so you got World War III on your hands. Not to mention Russia in itself keeps trying to start World War III or at least restart the Cold War. I mean, what happens if Russia invades Poland all of a sudden? We have World War III, and odds are they'll probably try to do it, you know, in the fall so that we're trying to push back in the winter and we'll lose to them, and it's just a big mess. Then you've got problems here in the U.S. economy because of quantitative easing, the dollar's coming apart, you have globalization and automation driving down the wages, everybody has a college degree and it's worthless, we're all still living in basements, literally, myself included. We got a lot of problems out there. So it's nice to get your opinions chiming in here at 323-920-9590 because it's curious, where are you at in life? I imagine if you went to college, you're probably done with it. Do you have a real career yet? Do you have you finally gotten to where you can buy a house? Or are you like the rest of us where you're making wages kind of like what you made in college, only you know, you're still living like you're in college even though you're done with it? 323-920-9590. Get your opinion chiming in on this kind of stuff. But speaking of old friends, hello.
Hello. This is John Whitlow.
Hey, John. How's it going up there?
I just wanted to thank you. I never got the chance to say thank you.
For what?
For letting me get out of that North Korean prison.
Oh, well, you know what? We did our part to bring attention to the issue. But there's only so much we can do, you know. If we try to make some headlines and let people know that you were captured along with those two other journalists in North Korea, then it helps bring attention because what could have happened was really it's all actually credit to Bill Clinton. You know, he gets in his sex plane and he flies out there to North Korea and kind of schmoozes a little bit and then takes the two hotties. He could have just taken the two hotties back with him, made out a little bit, and then let them loose, you know, when they got back to America. But because we did bring attention to the issue, then Bill felt obligated to bring you along. And, you know, he had nothing for you. You know, it wasn't personal. It's just the way Bill is. But we're glad that you're free, and I hope that you've enjoyed the last few years of being back here in North America.
It was bad there.
Oh, man, I bet it was. Because it's bad there if you're not imprisoned. It's like prison if you're just a regular dude, just chilling, trying to do whatever job you've got there. If you're in prison where you're the bottom of the bottom, I can't even imagine what that must have been like for you.
They beat me.
Oh, jeez.
And make me watch Friends.
No! How horrible!
Well, Apple says, don't get bent out of shape. It's only affecting a small number of phones.
Put my phone in my jeans. The tightest ones you've ever seen, babe.
Uh-oh.
Now I bet my iPhone 6. I bet the aluminum. Uh-oh. I didn't buy the Apple Care. I think I'm totally hosed. Uh-oh.
So the whole world is going to pieces. You have, what, ISIS in the Middle East and Vladimir Putin's turning into like an evil version of John Wayne and taking over Eastern Europe. Oh, yeah, and Kim Jong-il and Burma and all kinds of fun stuff. But hey, it's okay. We have cars that can drive themselves.
Gridlock, crashes, and high levels of stress. It's all part of driving in America's cities.
Except if you drive in, I don't know, Beijing?
But pretty soon, people will be able to cruise in their car while playing on their tablet or reading a magazine.
And how's that any different than, you know, funny story. So people are talking about how bad texting and driving is behind the wheel, which it is. I remember in the late 90s sitting at a stoplight near the freeway, and I looked over. It was riding with my buddies. He points out. He's like, dude, check it out. There was this 70-year-old guy reading a book at the stoplight. And when it went green, he pressed the gas and kept reading his book. So don't give me this nonsense that the texting and driving is... No, anyway.
And today's cars actually can drive themselves. Not literally, but practically they can.
Wait. Okay, now go back and say that again. Today's cars can drive themselves or they can't?
Not literally, but practically they can.
One more time here.
Today's cars actually can drive themselves. Not literally, but practically...
Okay, let me stop you there. Either something can or it can't. Today's cars cannot literally drive themselves. They can kind of imaginary drive themselves. They can imaginary fly, too.
They can.
More than a half dozen automakers are working on self-driving car technology.
Great.
Volvo's autonomous driving project will have 100 self-driving cars on public roads in Sweden.
Okay, but you got to remember, too, Volvo are the guys who, if you go to YouTube and type Volvo fail, it's their self-braking car that right in front of 25 different reporters didn't brake itself and crashed right into the back of a semi. So let's work on the braking first, guys, and then we can work on the gas part. And, you know, then the steering after that.
The goal is to have the cars on the road in just 3 years.
Whoa. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're ready for that. Can you imagine letting cars that... Again, Volvo City Safety, check that out. It's a system that's designed to stop itself. There's a guy driving through his parking structure and it was wet, and the city safety kept kicking on and braking his car in the middle of the parking structure. Okay, Volvo, get the braking down first. If you can make your car brake itself, then we can talk about acceleration and steering. But none of this, like, let's get on the road in 3 years crap. It's not going to happen because we'll forget. And two, even if it does, you're not ready for it.
2014, there is going to be this kind of pivot in the marketplace where you see some of the elements take a leap forward, if you will.
Nissan has the...
Did that guy just tell us anything? Let's go back.
Where you see some of the elements...
Uh-huh.
Take a leap forward, if you will.
Okay. And I'm leaping.
Nissan has the...
He told us nothing. Whatever.
Ambitious goal of making their fully autonomous car available to U.S. consumers by the year 2020.
Isn't that always interesting with technology, though? When something's wild and crazy, they're like, we're going to have a car and it's going to run on water. It won't even need gasoline, and it'll be available in 6 years. So, okay, why 6 years? Because if they say 10 or 15 years, they think, yeah, okay. Yeah, and maybe by then we'll have teleportation, you know. If they say 2 years, you think, oh, wow, well, where do I sign up? Well, they don't have that technology ready. So they may make up, like, 6 years. Because that sounds like it's, you know, it's close enough to get excited about it. maybe want to buy a little Nissan stock, get their stock price up. But far enough out that they can kind of push it back, be like, oh, yeah, I remember we were talking about that. Well, it's not quite ready. We need another 6 years. Sort of like I had a buddy in part of L.A., and I went to go visit him. And I said, how far is it to your house? How long does it take to drive there? He goes, oh, it's like 40 minutes. Not a big deal. So I'm like, oh, 40 minutes, you know. So I'm sitting on the 91 freeway heading into Orange County, and it took me like an hour and a half. I said, dude, it's not 40 minutes. It's an hour and a half, you know. Oh, yeah, well, you know, it's just the traffic. And then we go to eat, and oh, there's this great barbecue place. It's only like 40 minutes away, you know. I'm like, oh, okay. So we get in the car and start driving over to this barbecue place. It took like another hour and a half. And I'm like, come on, dude. Why does everybody in L.A. say everything's 40 minutes away? He says, well, it's a little trick. Because if you tell people it's an hour away, people will be like, oh, forget it. I'm not driving all the way to Long Beach. That's an hour. And if you backpedal it too much, you say like, oh, it's only 20 minutes. They know you're lying. But if you say 40, that's just long enough to admit, okay, you're going to be in the car for a while, but short enough that you still come and visit me, you know? Anyway, 6 years.
Well, we have cars driving themselves around California today, and you've got lane keeping technology, which keeps you gently, turns you into the lane if you get on a line.
You know, that's another thing. Do you notice these car companies that are doing self-driving cars, whether it's a Google and Audi and Volvo, they do all their testing in California? Okay, so that's one thing for some egghead to be driving around saying, oh, yeah, but in 3 years, we won't even have human drivers anymore. Okay, listen, the rest of us have lived in the part of America that doesn't touch the ocean. We call it America. America! And if you're from the region that doesn't touch the ocean and you're above maybe, I don't know, Nebraska, the Dakotas, Minnesota, Chicago, Salt Lake City, Denver, Boise, New York, Boston. Guess what we get for half the year? Ice and snow. Okay, so you get Egghead driving around Cupertino being like, isn't this neat? My Prius drives itself. Yeah, in perfect weather. Why don't you bring your little fancy Prius out to the Twin Cities? Try driving around in January. See if that car's smart enough to be able to figure out how to handle driving on ice and snow. Because you know what? As bad as human drivers are in January, we eventually get our crap together. And by February, we're doing all right. We're slowing down, not driving so insane. And we do pretty darn well. But you set a computer loose, how does it know how icy the road is, how much to slow down, how the other drivers are behaving? The computer might just go like, speed limit 55, and then it takes off going 55 miles an hour down the freeway in the ice. It's like, then it sees a stopped car, braking car, and it just, bam, slams into the back of another car. Little things they're not thinking about. Eggheads, get out of the Bay Area, huh?
This Lincoln equipped with parallel parking assist can pretty much park itself without me even putting my hands on the wheel. While driverless.
Well, yeah, it's really easy to make a driverless car that goes half a mile an hour. And you know what? You don't even, the car doesn't even control its own speed. If you've ever sat in one of those cars that can automatically parallel park itself, you put your foot on the brake and then push a button and the computer does its thing. Then you gradually let off the brake and just kind of inch backwards. Well, yeah, then the car has some time to think. It does some calculations. If you don't like what it's doing, which you can find all kinds of YouTube videos of Lexus's self-parking system messing up. And if the car gets confused, it just goes, bong, 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 and it makes you take over. Well, yeah, but when you're going 70 miles an hour down the freeway, it's one thing in ideal conditions with a team of engineers in the car to get the car to do what it's supposed to do and putting it in testing environments. But what if you take the car to a four-way stop and the other three cars just sit there? Does this automated Prius know, like, oh, everybody else is sitting there. I guess I won't wait for my turn. I'll just go ahead and go. And then it goes in and goes and hits another car. Or does the car just sit there indefinitely till the other drivers get their crap together? Or what if you have four automated cars all come to the intersection at the same time and they get confused and they all just sit there? Seems things to think about here.
These cars aren't being made in mass quite yet. Underlying technology like this is already in many vehicles. I pride myself in my parallel parking, but this car does it on its own. It's not quite an autonomous car, but it does do a lot of the work. Mercedes perhaps has some of the most technologically advanced driving systems.
That's true. They were the first car company to figure out that they could put a massager in the chair. And now everybody's doing it. I think you can get a massager in a Hyundai now.
From radar to cameras to sensors that can detect vehicles in front. This is probably as close as you're going to get to fully autonomous.
Okay, but it's still not fully autonomous because you still have to drive the car. And Mercedes system, they know that if you just kind of let the car drive itself, that you're not going to be paying attention. So Mercedes has a sensor where if you let go of the steering wheel, it won't auto steer. It only auto steers if you're grabbing the steering wheel. Well, then what's the point? And the bigger thing is, what's Mercedes' message they're sending to their customers? What they're saying is, yeah, maybe we could build a car that maybe kind of sort of drives itself. But with liability and lawsuits, we want you to be the one who got sued for driving like an idiot, not us for our software doing a bad job. So if car companies are already thinking that way, realizing their butt's on the line if there's a crash, if the car drove itself, do you really think car makers are that eager to line up to make self-driving cars? No, because they're going to do something where you have to grab the wheel or something so that that way it's your fault, not theirs.
They can remove the human error. And that would bring down, that would significantly raise the safety of travel in vehicles.
Except for the introducing technical error and car computer error that we haven't seen yet. See, it's one thing, it's kind of reminds me when the printer came out in the 80s. I was too young to know, but you get talking to these old timers, they'd be like, oh yeah, I remember the 80s and we had the PC and PC Junior in the office, and they said we were getting all these dot matrix printers and it was the end of paperwork because we're gonna do everything on the computer and just print what we needed. And they never realized that paperwork actually was about to go the other way and go through the roof because they would be printing more than ever. There's now way more paper in offices than there were back in the 80s. And it's going to be the same thing with these self-driving cars. You let them loose in mixed traffic with regular drivers, you're going to see fatalities go up, not down, because now you have computers getting way confused about what people are doing. How many times with your phone, especially if you use Android, do you get a little impatient to start clicking on stuff and you lock the phone up and have to reboot it? Now, I'm not saying you're going to have to reboot the car, but that same mentality where you do something the software just doesn't expect, no matter how well planned it is, and you're going to mess the computer up. So you throw one of these smart automated driving cars into mixed traffic, it's out there with other drivers and they're going to break it. And then the car is going to spaz out, not know what to do, and drive into a ditch.
The U.S., California, Michigan, Florida, and Nevada have all adopted laws for autonomous vehicles.
Okay, I'll give them credit. Michigan is a snow state. So if they do take self-driving cars up there, maybe they could test it out. So if you live up in Detroit, now you got one more thing to worry about.
One of the biggest obstacles might just be drivers and their reluctance to let go of the wheel.
There's the individual. Am I ready to do that? Am I ready to get into the passenger side of the vehicle and have...
Hell no. And I tell you why. Okay, if you think about Boeing and Airbus, they make planes that are ready to basically land themselves. They can take off, they can land, they work all by themselves. In reality, you almost could get the pilot out of the cockpit and with some technology, or maybe even from giving control to somebody on the ground. Forget software driving it. You could just make every plane a drone. Then you have the pilot safely on the ground. You could get rid of the cockpit, make some more room for passengers. Everybody wins, right? So are you eager to go jump in an airplane that has no pilot on board? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Have no one on the driver's side and go to LA. I don't know if I'm there yet.
Whether or not people are ready for driverless cars, automakers are moving forward with the technology.
They're never going to be ready. Do you ever see a time when people are going to hop on an airplane that's a drone or an automated plane and fly without a pilot? I mean, I realize that technology's only been around for 10, 15 years, but I don't care if you give it another 150. People just aren't going to do it. There's too often we have events and circumstances pop up that the software designers never anticipated, that in it may be one in a million flights. But having that pilot in the plane saved the crew. The most famous is Captain Sullenberger with the flight out of, was it LaGuardia? Hit the birds, plane started spazzing out. He somehow managed to land the thing on water. A plane is not even going to try. It would have automated and be like, and it would have tried to go to New Jersey. It wouldn't have made it. Everybody would have died. People on the ground would have died. It would have been bad. That could have happened with the human pilot too, but that's one of those one in a million cases where the human situation was better. And a drone pilot, I don't think they would have been smart enough. But it doesn't matter. Customers want to have somebody behind the wheel. Are you going to trust a school bus to just drive your kids to school with nobody, no school bus attendant on there, no bus driver? Are you going to trust letting garbage trucks go down the street, your neighborhood street where kids go out and play near your apartment complex or whatever, with no trash truck guy in there actually looking around? When it comes to matters of safety, maybe the numbers and the data will show that the technology is safer than the human eye. But it's just that one in a million case where the technology gets so stupid. And you just think if there'd been a human being on board, this would never have happened. It's like that movie Strange Brew from the 80s. They automate the beer factory and they get a mouse in the bottle. Well, they didn't actually. The main characters put the mouse in the bottle. But what was the reaction from the plant's owner? She says, oh, well, let's get a human quality assurance guy on the line and keep an eye out and make sure we don't get a mouse in the bottle. See, people, we may swing that way where we have all kinds of automated taxis and stuff going around, but it's only one accident away from the company having to admit, oh, okay, we're going to have to hire some kind of attendant to sit behind the wheel. Maybe they do nothing, but at least sit there and make sure the car's doing what it's supposed to do, simply for the liability of it.
Budgie. Hoping to put them on sale soon. In San Diego, California.
All right.
Ramon Galindo, RT.
This is the Radio Citrus Podcast on Q95.9 FM.
This is how we steal. This is how we steal. Voting on Reddit, r/r/funny. This is how we steal. Stolen content posting still up, still fresh as a daisy. This is how we steal. Alt account, Google images, everything's rising, I stole it, baby. This is how we steal. Upvote mine, downvote yours, oh yeah, all my posts, awesome baby. This is how we steal. No big deal. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. This is no big deal. This is how we steal. Yeah, your original content, faking like it's mine, oh yeah. This is how we steal. Just rip it off. This is how we steal. This is how we steal. Yeah, your original content, faking like it's mine, oh yeah. This is how we steal. Just rip it off. This is how we steal.
Everything looks so good. I think I'm going to have the chicken.
I just have to say this. You're really beautiful.
Oh, well, that's very sweet. Thank you.
I'm kind of funny looking.
What a horrible show. Can't believe it was one of the top-rated shows of the 90s. Now, people could sit through that kind of torture. Torture, which our good friend John Whitecloud had to endure in a North Korean prison. Back to be glad to be back talking with him, John.
It was horrible.
I imagine so. What can you do? I mean, I'm glad you survived that. Because, you know, I don't think I've ever been able to have the kind of strength and courage you had. Sitting there in that prison, having to watch friends. I've never been able to do it. I know some people have tried because they want to experience what life is like for people who have a really hard time. I had a buddy who went to college in some hick town up in Montana, you know, and he decided he wanted to be waterboarded. So he put his video on Facebook of he's there just chilling on a front porch one, you know, winter's night, and then his buddies threw a washcloth on him and waterboarded him, and he said, yeah, it's legit. It's like torture. It's just absolutely awful. And I myself have never been able to bring myself to that level of empathy. I've never been able to really put myself in the shoes of the suffering that people in this world have to go through. I know there's a group at my college back when I was a student who They would live on basically the diet of people in Vietnam or some other places, Indonesia and others, where they'd eat a lot of beans and rice or that sort of thing, just for like 2 weeks, just to kind of see what life was like on a very meager diet. Never been able to do it. Never been able to sit through an episode of Friends and go through that same kind of empathy and experience that you had too.
So thank you. Good luck.
Well, we are honored, John, to have played whatever role we did in not just helping rescue you a few years ago by bringing attention to your capture under Kim Jong-il, but also to have at least hopefully played a part in promoting democracy, because that's what Radio Citrus is all about. It's about taking things that are locked up and freeing them, like content that's been locked under a copyright, and sharing it with everybody.
If I fall along the way, pick me up and dust me off. And if I get too tired to make it, plug me in and charge me up. If I need another update, give me 8.0.1. And when my screen gets scratched and faded, wait, I'll still boot again. Shouldn't be so complicated. Fold me again. Don't fold me again. Can you help me? I'm bent. I'm so scared. AppleCare will put 2 and 2 together. There's breaking me in, and this is how it will end. With iPhone me bent.
Ford.
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 New Ford.
The car that you should buy.
Ford.
You just need to believe. Clap your hands if you believe.
I believe. I do. I do.
Okay.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here. Up in here. Y'all gonna make
this isn't my flea circus.
Ah, good old Screech from Saved by the Bell. And I bring this up because there's a little tidbit about YTMND you probably didn't know. Early on, when Max, the guy who created YTMND, was going around just buying random domain names that had to do with movies and TV, that's where he bought YourTheManNowDog.com, which became YTMND later. He bought DustinDiamond.com. And if you go there, it is the crappiest Web 1.0 website you're ever going to see, DustinDiamond.com. And it's got this really ugly background, and I think there's like MIDI music that comes up, and it looks absolutely awful. Hello, welcome to DustinDiamond.com, my homepage on the internet. And there's a picture of Screech there. It turns out, I guess, years ago, Dustin Diamond saw this awful website and tried to sue Max, and he won, because at the bottom it says this site is in no way affiliated with Dustin Diamond. And but then if you click on it, it goes to like this like fake official page, and it's just absolutely garbage. Anyway, that's something fun. If you get some time, check out DustinDiamond.com. But you know who also reminds me of Dustin Diamond? Screech is even better. It's Rob Schneider. And, you know, he's got his moments.
I am responsible for the destruction of my best friend's personal property.
What are you talking about? You didn't do anything.
Something happened. I don't know what it is, but it happened. And now every time I say what if, it comes true.
Now, he is part of the campaign to say that parents shouldn't vaccinate their children, which I'll let you digest that for a moment. Now, obviously, we can whine and complain here about the anti-vaccine moment, and I probably will here in a minute. But let's first take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Why is it that any time somebody famous is running for or you have a politician, you know, the presidency, right? So they bring in like Oprah. Oprah, who do you think should win? Or even worse, it's like Alec Baldwin. Who do you think should be president? Okay. We fall in love with the characters that actors play on TV, but actors are in themselves not, a lot of them are kind of stupid. Yeah, Lindsay Lohan, what do you think about whether Mitt Romney would have made a better president than Barack Obama? Who cares? And it's the same thing here with the anti-vaccine movement. Why would they think that jumping on board and having, Rob Schneider be kind of their front man, that somehow that gives them credibility? Now, maybe it does. People fall in love, like I say, with the character. And people, a lot of us are kind of stupid. And so we're like, oh, yeah, Alec Baldwin. It's just like Jack Donaghy. Anyway, maybe it works. Maybe it works especially with the crowd that would watch a video like this.
Do vaccines cause autism?
No.
In the last...
Well, okay. Maybe back in the 90s they did. But let's think about what's happened since then. Drug companies had a little product called, I don't know, what was it, Vioxx? And they messed up. Not bad, but they messed up some. And some people got really sick. And those people who got really sick and their families bound together, made a big class action. And the company that produced Vioxx lost billions of dollars in a really bad class action lawsuit. Do you really think the companies that produce vaccines, if they had found that there was a link between their product and autism, that they would, one, not fix it? And two, that they would tell us about it? Obviously, they're going to fix it. They don't want to get sued, and they're going to do it quietly. And two, if there was a problem, they're not going to tell us about it. They're going to keep it all hush-hush. But the big thing is, it shouldn't matter anymore because they fixed the problem. So definitely vaccine your kids because the risk of – well, anyway, I'll let him keep blabbering on before I do.
30 years, the childhood vaccine schedule has tripled, while the U.S. autism –
some of that is because they've invented new vaccines.
Rate has skyrocketed from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 50.
Could that also be because back in the 1950s when a kid had autism, we just kind of chalked him up as being retarded and said, oh, mentally retarded. Where today we're a little more nuanced, we realize, oh, they have this type of autism, we can do this type of treatment. And so, of course, the cases of autism are going to go up. We're better at detecting it.
Dozens of published research papers show that, yes, vaccines and autism are linked.
But what about the hundreds that say otherwise?
Yet the debate rages on.
Also, the other thing, too. Notice he uses the word published. Published where? Published in a legitimate... peer-reviewed medical journal or published like on my website.
In part because of the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, passed by Congress as a result of pharmaceutical lobbying. It shields drug companies from liability for injuries and deaths caused by the vaccines they manufacture.
Okay, but we live in a post-Vioxx world. I don't care what law they have that supposedly shields them. There is nothing more aggressive and ruthless than an accident attorney who smells blood in the water and knows that they can get a little lick of that, like 50% of it. They are going to go around every law. They're going to look at every possible case and loophole and court precedent to try to squeeze money out of that drug company. And I suppose they should, you know, if the drug company messes up and a bunch of people get sick, yeah, why not hammer them, you know, get a little cash out, help people out. Why not? But in this case, you know, when the rate is so, the risk is so low compared to actually getting sick, would I rather have my kid have autism or die of polio? I don't know. I'd probably rather him have autism.
Vaccines that the federal government admits are unavoidably unsafe.
Where? Give me the proof, Cupcake.
To see how this tilted the law and big pharma...
Is it just me? Or I'm having a hard time taking it seriously because I keep picturing surf ninjas. Good old Rob Schneider. You know, the only way this could be funnier is if they had Arnold Schwarzenegger like, oh, the vaccines, they aren't safe.
Pharma's favor. Let's look at Eric, a child suffering from vaccine-induced autism.
No, let's call him Rob. No, let's call him R. Schneider.
Had Eric been harmed by...
Had R. Schneider been harmed...
...a pharmaceutical product other than vaccines, his parents could sue the manufacturer in civil court.
Or they could still try, despite the law. There's a way to get around that.
Entitling them to the standard legal process with a judge, jury, private attorneys, legal precedent, and discovery, all within public view. But for kids like Eric...
R. Schneider.
The National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act says no. Instead of suing the pharmaceutical company directly, parents of children like Eric are forced to petition the Department of Health and Human Services, and if federal health officials oppose compensation, the case is argued before a special master in the U.S. Claims Court.
Yawn. Go on.
Many refer to this as vaccine court, though it isn't a court at all, but rather an administrative procedure in which...
Do you know how many things you fight and it's not in court? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love America. I love that we have due process or whatever. But you know what? Most things in life, we don't get our day in court. Day in court is reserved for people who commit murders or felonies or big misdemeanors or go all, you know, MIA on people. Our day in court... Okay, you're on the freeway. You're going 80. Everybody else is going 80. It's a nice day. You're in the middle of the crowd. You're not passing anyone. You're going 80. Cop pulls you over, writes you up for 87. You're like, I wasn't going 87. He's like, yeah, we'll tell that to the judge. You show up at the courthouse. You don't get to even see a real judge. Odds are you get to see a clerk who just wants your money. They'll be like, well, if you decide not to see the judge, I can knock it down by $15. And you think, oh, well, better bird in the hand's worth two in the bush. And you never get your day in court. It's all bureaucracy. But say you say, you know, up yours, I'm going, I want to talk to the judge. Well, you still don't get to talk to a judge. You go into this thing called justice court and you talk to some guy who, yeah, he might look like a judge. He might wear robes, but he's not a judge. He probably never was even an attorney. He was somebody who was well-connected to somebody in the county attorney's office who just got appointed. Could have been like some old farmer. He's like, oh, now I'm justice court judge. Your dog goes and bites someone. Do you get to go have your day in court and try to fight it? No, you get to go see the justice court judge. And there's no due process in the justice court. Their goal isn't to give you due process. It's to just suck some money out of you. It's to give you a scary courtroom experience that looks like a courtroom but doesn't actually have any due process. It's just a way of trying to get some cash out of you. So don't give me this nonsense that like, oh, but in our case, we're the only ones in America who have to go through the bureaucracy because we never get our day in court. Listen, you find the right attorney, you'll find a way to get your day in court. But the reason you don't have a day in court is because you don't have the evidence yet to really be able to have a sufficient case to be able to get around it. If, trust me, if there was blood in the water, you could find the right guy, the it's my money and I want it now kind of guy. They're going to get in. They're going to get you your money. They're going to get you their money. There's a way to have your day in court. So the fact that you're having to go to the Department of Health and Human Services to vaccine court is just more of a sign of the typical bureaucracy you got to deal with when living in a country of 330 million people. Get over
it. The family asks the government to admit the vaccine caused their child harm and requests compensation for the child's care.
Yeah. Guess what? Everybody's trying to do that. You have a kid with cerebral palsy, you're going to the state trying to get money. You have a kid who was in a really bad accident, it's now quadriplegic, you're going to the state to try to get money. Everybody who has an injured kid is trying to go get some money out of the state. I don't blame them. If I had a kid who was severely injured somehow or really sick, I'd be trying to too. Heaven help me, I hope I never have a kid with autism, but if I did, yeah, I would try to go get some money. But you know what? I would recognize that my situation's no different than so many other people are trying to do it, and just because your kid has autism doesn't mean that they're somehow on a pedestal above all the other disabled kids. Get in line!
Here are some shocking facts about the so-called vaccine court.
Number one shocking fact. Rob Schneider is the judge on that court.
Pharmaceutical companies do not have to participate in the proceedings at all.
Okay. It's not that shocking. Go on.
Taxpayers pay for all damages.
So? You know, if I buy a piece of equipment Let's say I'm a contractor and I build a bridge on the freeway, right? And something happens, earthquake or whatever, and the bridge falls down and kills a bunch of people. As the contractor, am I liable? Probably not. My name might get dragged up, but odds are the state of California is just going to go ahead and cut a check and be done with it. It's just the way it works. It's bureaucracy.
The U.S. Department of Justice acts as the government's lawyer, with taxpayers footing the bill for their defense.
Okay.
The family's attorney is paid out of the trust fund, administered by the Department of Health and Human Services, which has a history of punishing plaintiffs' lawyers by slashing their fees and waiting a decade or more to pay them, leaving some families without...
Well, let him keep blathering on.
There's no required discovery process, so incriminating documents stay hidden in the
Is he saying anything interesting now?
There's no judge or jury. A special master appointed by the U.S. Court of Federal Claims both presides over the hearings and issues the rulings, which can limit the chance of an objective verdict.
Yes.
Legal precedent is limited.
I'm going to jump ahead here.
Program,
this is getting really dry.
Neither HHS nor Congress has ever reviewed the potentially devastating health effects this vaccination surge has had on our children.
Okay. It's not a vaccination surge. Most of the vaccines we've been using for 100 years. We have killed off polio. I believe it's polio. Maybe it's smallpox. I forget which. It's gone. It's not a disease anymore. And most of the others were so traced, they weren't even measured. And now we're having a surge the other way around of people getting really sick and going back to the hospital because parents see this video. And risk or not, it's a statistics matter. You know, you say, okay, well, maybe you've got a, I don't know, 1 in 1,000 shot of the vaccine getting your kid autism. You know, I be interesting to actually see the data of the unvaccinated children who also still get autism probably. And compare that with the risk of if your kid got smallpox. I mean, some of these diseases are really bad with kids. They'll knock out like 1 in 3. It's the way the flu is with the senior citizens. You know, you get that vulnerable end, the kids on the one end or people in their 80s on the other end. I mean, you and I get the flu. Okay, we're out of work for a week. We're kind of ticked off because we, missed a week of work and we're hurting for money. And coughing, sick feeling for 3 more weeks after that. But eventually, you get over it. You're 85 years old. You get the flu. It's good morning, good afternoon, and good night. You're done. You're out. And some of these diseases with kids? Go back and look in human history. Why did most farmers and people throughout history have like 19 children? Because only 2 of them would make it to be adults. Kids were dying left and right. Then we've created this last century where things were pretty good. We're like, hey, kids are surviving. People don't have to have as many kids because all their kids survive. And what do? We take one of the best things we had, vaccinations, and we start trashing on it real bad, saying, oh, well, don't do it because, and then we're going to take ourselves back to the Stone Age, you know. We're going to end up having, why don't we just give up hand washing while we're at it, you know? I mean, because, you know, yeah, a few germs are good for you, right?
Today, over half of all U.S. kids suffer from chronic disease and disability.
Where? Let's play that stat again. Chronic disease and disability, 50% of all kids. Maybe something really bad's gone down in the school in the last 20 years, but it seems like if I think back to elementary school, how many people were sick in that classroom? 0? 1? No, I think it was 0.
This one is a great jazz musician. The kids, they listen to rap music, which gives them brain damage. With their hippin' and the hoppin' and the bippin' and the boppin'. You see? So they don't.
A lot of Uncle Lady's studio needs to sell bicycles. A lot of Uncle Lady's studio needs to sell bicycles. What do you think gambling is a big island? When I was a little boy, we would play stickball. We would play stickball. And we also used to play a buck-buck. Gambling is a made album. What do you think gambling is a made album?